PFT Media.
Welcome to Half True History, where we look at the myths, we look at the legends, and compare them all. I am your professor, Dan P., and over here, sitting in a different alternate room is that we have the Nostradamus to my Pope Innocent III, Pedro Lima.
Oh, I predicted this. I had no idea this was going to happen.
You'd be surprised when we get the Nostradamus.
Okay.
And then, of course, sitting in a completely different room, comfortable, of course, in the actual headquarters of the Crespediso Studios, Chris Crespo.
Yes, here I am in Crespo Studio 1, at HQ 1, guys. I'm glad you're safe in your remote locations, keeping your COVID to yourself, as I keep mine to myself.
Right.
I mean, who knows? One of us may have it. We don't want to spread it to the other people.
I sneeze
once during the pre-show, and now we're just wishing. It's like, hey, one of us have it. I knew you're talking about me. I don't got it.
I don't know. I feel a little achy. I don't know. We'll see what happens. So plague. What's up with that?
So pandemic. You know, we always. You know, we've had a few in United States history and world history as well. Of course, the last time we had such a big blowover in the United States, we're looking at the polio problems in the 1920s and up to the 1950s, and the Spanish flu epidemic right after World War I. So this is not the first time we've had pandemics all over the world.
And they're always viral pandemics is what we're talking about, y'all?
Yeah, we're talking about viral pandemics. But of course, the biggest one that we always think of is we talk about the most famous, the Black Plague, which ravaged the entire Western world in the 1300s, the bubonic plague, the Black Death, as it was called.
The Black Plague and the bubonic plague are the same thing?
Same exact thing.
Rats, right? It's rats.
The fleas on rats.
The fleas on the rats.
It was the fleas on the rats, not the rats themselves, that really spread it. The rats, their blood had the virus, but it was the fleas jumping on the humans and biting them later that would start the infections.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
They're and, just piggybacking on the rats.
Yeah. And just like the coronavirus today, this one started in China.
Right. How did they know that for sure?
First reports were in China during the Yuan Dynasty, which was when the Mongols were invading China.
Wait, that's how that China did the plague because of the Mongols?
The Mongols were reported. Back when they were controlling China, there was an outbreak in China. And the first recordings and cases were in China.
So China gets the blame for everything, pretty much, it seems.
You know, that's one of the problems with being one of the centers of the world.
So it's not because this lady had a bat soup?
No.
That didn't cause it.
No. The bat thing is, I think, has been disproven now already, the bat.
Yeah, but did they disprove it because it's not real? Did they disprove it because, hey, you guys are picking too much on the Chinese people? We need to chill on that.
I'm pretty sure it's not real because, you know, we're looking at the corona is different than the Black Plague because corona is an airborne disease, more about saliva and things like that, whereas something like ingesting a bat that was diseased with probably more of a blood disease like the Black Plague was.
Like a blood parasite or something?
Yeah, Yasmininus pestis was the name of the virus for the Black Plague.
Meninas pestis?
Yes, Meninas pestis, yeah.
Wow, some famous, a lot of words.
All right.
Yeah. So
comfortable, Pedro?
Yeah, dude, I gotta go outside. People start yelling in the living room and stuff like that.
Okay. Good. Sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. Yeah, so it starts over in China and then starts to spread all through the Mongol Empire. Now, at this time, the Mongols not only control Mongolia and China, but also northern India, the Middle East, and Russia. And then the Mongols get this bright idea that they're going to use the plague as a biological weapon.
Wait. So they just collected a few rats and they put in a sack?
No, they would collect the bodies of dead plague victims.
Okay.
And put them in catapults and then launch them into cities that they were trying to take.
Oh, wow. That's dope.
And so the bodies, of course, would explode on impact and there would just be blood everywhere.
Now you got it.
Yeah. And then that would spread for them. And it kept spreading that like that as they kept moving eastward or westward.
That's crazy.
That reminds me of what is it, Return of the King from Lord of the Rings when they start catapulting the bodies.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
stone stuff. Yeah, it's just basically whatever they had and they just started catapulting the bodies. And like I said, it was just this explosion of blood and guts because of the high velocity it was hitting the city walls. Just this blood bombs.
Right, so the Mongols are bashing bodies to the walls.
Right. And So the blood is splattering everywhere. So nobody knows if they can even clean up all the blood everywhere. And thus the disease starts spreading. You know, if it gets on the food, all they do is throw out the food and the rats will eat the food. And so the rats start getting infected with it. And the rats start moving to, you know, they start spreading amongst the rats until we get to the rats in the coastal cities of the Middle East, places like, in the coast of Turkey and Syria and Israel and Egypt. And then rats, they like places that are dark and wet. So most rats settle on the docks. And from there, the rats will wait until ships start to come to the Middle East. And then while the ships are docked at night, they run up the tow cables into the ships and live in the bottom of the ship. And so at this time, the only people that were trading with the Middle East were the Italians, the Venetians, the Genoese, the Milanese.
Oh, the Italians always getting into it.
Right. And so then it goes from China to the Middle East to Italy. Sound familiar?
So did it just jump Greece? And I said, no, not Greece. We're going.
Well, the Greeks don't really have a navy at this point. The Greeks are there is no Greece. It's the Byzantine Empire.
Okay.
So I mean, it gets to Greece eventually, but for the most part, it spreads right to Italy because they're trading with the Middle East. So again, we can see the pattern even today, where it goes from today went from China quickly to Iran, then right to Italy. Same thing. It's traveling the same route as the Black Plague did.
How long did this last for?
The first wave lasted 5 years.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So that's when you were like, oh, it'll be over in a few months, maybe.
No, people are treating this like it's a storm. I was like, no.
Oh, like it's if it's not taken care of, it can last years like it did in Europe.
How big of an impact? Well, back then, I guess the economy wasn't like that much, but how much of an economic impact that it do? Does it reset the markets kind of deal? Like what are we looking for?
There's a lot of cause and effect. Now, this plague does a lot. It kills 50% of Europe's population.
Okay.
So you're looking about 75 million people are going to die within the first few waves of the plague. So within about, like I say, a 20-year plague period, you're looking at about 75 million people dead.
So the plague was a Thanos snap. Okay, I got it.
Basically, yeah. Boom. All done. And what happened there is the governments, they didn't know what to do because they had never faced something like this. There was no modern medicine at this time. We're still 300 years away from modern medicine. At this point, the solution is to pray the virus away.
People still tried that. I didn't see where, but I saw some articles. Some pastor got arrested for having services 2 weeks in a row at like a mega church, too.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the ways the plague spread is that people would go to these churches and say it would all be, you know, hundreds of people in the community would all be in this one massive cathedral, and then it would spread even more.
I saw I reposted on my Twitter the pastor that wished it be gone, so we're okay. It's okay to come outside, but then I think yesterday I was just perusing through because everybody has a Facebook Live now.
Yeah.
And this pastor was talking about how this is like the first horse of the apocalypse.
Oh, we're going with the pestilence and plague theory? Yes. Okay.
Which horse is the one that shut down the movie theaters? Because that's my least favorite horse.
That
would be the Joel Osteen horse.
Oh, wait, what the is one it? That it's opens famine, with a joke?
It's famine, war.
Famine, war, pestilence, and death. Death.
Oh, death. All right. Yeah. But death, all right. Does death even need a horse? I thought that was part of the thing.
Yeah, he has a pale white horse.
He gets the whitest horse.
Oh, yeah. he's the last one then. He's the cleaner, the closer.
He's Harvey Keitel in a robe.
Oof.
And so the governments are reacting in all different ways. They don't really know how to do this. You know, kind of like how our government is right now. They thought it would be gone in a little while. They didn't really know how much attention needed to be done. They didn't have model medical care at that point.
Oh, we got beautiful tests. Beautiful. Which is the beautiful test. The greatest test.
The greatest tests you have ever seen.
We got six of them, and it's by next week they're gone.
Right.
We have it almost down to zero. This guy, I mean, there you go, people. We told you he bankrupted a casino. Now he's about to bankrupt human life in the United States.
It's really, really interesting how it's playing out the same way as a lot of the plague economics.
World economics back in the day weren't so interconnected, were they? I mean, there's like trade routes and stuff, but it's not like now where a market crashes in China and it's felt in the financial markets here in America.
Absolutely. Like, we're not globalized yet, but there's still such a, which means that the people are so dependent on their own trade, and even the slightest bit of trade is necessary to survival. So sure. There are two scenarios, because this, you know, this spreads to France, this spreads to England, this spreads everywhere. And so everyone does different things. And unfortunately, it's the same route that we're trying to do as well. The president, of course, you know, wants everyone to return to work as soon as possible. So we're going to get to some examples of nobles who wanted that to happen.
Okay.
And then there's people who want the government completely locked down, shut down, everybody to stay away from each other. And there's an example of that, too, in history during the plague.
Which one is the best one? Give me that one.
They both get hosed.
Wow.
You get your choice of how you want to die.
Okay.
So the ones who close down everything and shut down everything, now the president is correct in thinking this. The economy will tank, and it absolutely did in those kingdoms. And a lot of people starved to death because there was no trade, so therefore they weren't getting all the food that they needed from other countries.
So really, they really did have a food shortage due to the stalled out economy and whatnot.
Right, but that's only, again, that's a different detail, though. It's because they were going through a cooling period. Well, we're technically still in a warming period, so our food supply should not be as affected.
Mm-hmm.
But for the people who did close down, just like we want a lockdown, it was still similar. It wasn't death by plague, but it was death by starvation and unemployment. Now, the ones who wanted everyone to get back to work as soon as possible, those are the Italian states and then the English later on. So the Italians, here's how they did it, which is very similar to how we would probably do it in the United States. They made sure all the workers in the city were still working, but the nobles, they left for their countryside estates and stayed there for days until the plague was gone.
Smart.
Yeah, because the plague only lasts 10 days. After 10 days, if you're not dead, then you've survived it.
Okay.
It's a very fast-burning
illness. This one's different. This one is, hey, we got a quarantine for 14 days. But hey, you can still get it.
Right. It's a 14-day quarantine, right. To actually, you know, to kind of stop the spread.
Yeah.
So, but the nobles, basically, they quarantined themselves, but they made sure everyone else went back to work.
Ah, sounds now, familiar.
What happened there was basically nothing. The poor people were just, they finally snapped and were just looking at massive looting throughout these cities. Total chaos, anarchy. We're looking at people who are just having huge parties in the streets, taking whatever they want. Massive alcoholic sex orgies in the middle of the street. Because what's going to happen? What's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to die? They're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So by letting it just happen, by opening it up, then you get the fear, you look into the possibility of chaos. People just realizing that the government doesn't want them, and we end up in a massive amount of riots and looting with the plague still being spread.
But that's the despair of unemployed people, and yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's one or the other.
So it sounds like the quarantine one is the better option.
The quarantine one would be a better option because we do have a more sustainable food source, and we don't, and again, we don't rely on the same standard of economy as they were back then. They had such a gold standard, whereas we kind of have this fiat system.
Does that make it better being on fiat currency than having something to back the currency?
It can, because it relies on speculation of the markets and kind of the world trust. And if everyone's doing bad, then it's possible that it won't fall as bad as like a gold standard. But again, that's all speculation, and I am not an economist.
True. This is not an economy podcast.
Right. So I don't know. I can only tell you what had happened in those areas.
True.
And then in England, after the plague is gone, they force everybody back to work. It's called the Statute of Laborers.
Okay, and what happens? What do you mean they force them to work?
Anybody from 60 below who is able to, who is considered an adult. So for like 14 to 60 has to go back to the fields and work to make up for all the people that die.
Like field, like in the cropping?
Yeah, the fields.
Okay.
Yeah, so people were drafted to go back to work.
You had to by order of law.
Wow.
Now what they did, and again, this is kind of where I'm worried that our government will go as well. You had to go back, and you also had to go back to your original salary before the plague. So even though you were a more limited worker, you know, in a capitalist free market, you could have argued for more money because who are you going to replace me with? They're all dead. They made a law saying, no, you have to get paid the same.
What the same as the person that died.
The same as rates were before the plague even happened.
Okay. Even though now workers are much more in demand.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It would be the equivalent, you know, of today. It's saying, yeah, we know prices are up. We know you're the only one in your field, but we really need you to make the same as an engineer from 1970.
I feel like this is going to reset a lot of things, though.
Oh, it really will. It doesn't go well because at the same time, they decided to raise money by taxing the people.
Oh, not good.
And just like they based their wages off the pre-plague, they based how much people had to pay based off the population before the plague.
Oh, meaning they have to pay more in taxes.
They need to make up.
They were like, hey, so everyone
for the dead.
Right. So they did their first thing, and then they're like, oh, we came up short. Why did we come up short? Because they didn't figure it out. Oh, we didn't tax the dead people. And so they issued another tax to make up for that money. So the people got taxed twice.
That went over.
Oh, yeah. It was called the English Peasants' Revolt.
Anybody counts on that revolt?
We're looking at a few. We're looking at tens of thousands. We're looking at the city of London is completely sacked. The bishop is killed. The high chancellor is killed, and their heads are put on spikes.
Oh shit!
And then what they do is, now they don't kill the king, but what they do is they raid the royal archives and basically burn all legal documents that bind them to the king. That any laws against the serfs, they burn all those documents so that the peasants have no more laws against them.
We're not going to kill you. We just want to kill the documents, and we're
exactly
good to go.
Exactly, because they had been quietly kind of educating themselves over the years during the plague because of the availability of education. And so the thing that they were going to attack England, we're not going to kill the king or anything, but we are going to make sure that he can't find any written record that we actually owe him money.
It's like at the end of Fight Club when they blow up the credit card building.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, such a great. The Pixies are playing in the background.
Yeah.
So now the peasant revolt is not successful, but there are other revolts as well. They're all not equally successful, but it's the start of a major revolution at this time, all throughout medieval Europe. The kings soon realized that the lack of population The rebellions, they can't keep the feudal system working anymore. And so the Black Plague ends up being the death of the feudal and peasant system in most of Europe.
Oh, so it's a good thing.
Right. It totally changes the social structure because the oligarchy, the nobles, no longer have a huge, poor group of people to lean on.
Because they're all dead.
Right. They're all dead. And it starts in some areas what they call the golden age of workers. A lot of workers say, hey, no one can replace me. I want more money.
Yeah. I think that the one thing this COVID-19 is going to do is a lot of unions are going to start coming back.
Unions are coming back. And then if you've noticed, the same thing with the golden age of workers. These peasants, everyone's like, oh, they're just peasants, whatever, we can pay them nothing. It's very similar to those quote-unquote high school jobs for minimum wage that we talked about years and years before.
Mm-hmm.
All those baggers, all those, the essential workers there now, right?
Instead of the fast food workers.
Right, that McDonald's is just an entry job, is now an essential job right now.
Yeah, man, I got to get my double quarter pounder with cheese. They better not close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, peasants are non-essential until they become essential.
There's some Starbucks that were closed. Well, but the Starbucks that I go to this morning is closed. And I'm like, what? This is starting to be serious.
That's when you know.
That's, yeah. How are all the white people in Winter Park handling that?
They're good. I don't get to see them. There's some, like my neighbors, they're having like parties and get togethers and stuff.
Oh,
like that.
That's the smart thing.
Yeah. There's some people that are concerned and some people that aren't. So I'm like,
yeah,
just don't come into my house.
Mm-hmm. The people who quarantined, they quarantined. Mm-hmm. And eventually the people with the better immune systems, they survived. And it moved forward. It moved Europe forward. But again, just like the United States today, it moved Europe forward in a place they could have already been, but they needed this to wake them up. Like, this was not impossible. You could have paid the peasants more at any time. This time you had more of them, too. You could have done a lot more, but you chose not to. And then it needed something like the Black Plague to move people forward.
Mm. Oh, my God. It's like history repeating itself, huh?
Oh, a little bit there. Yep, it's always that familiar tune.
Look at that. Like the I saw the Spanish and the Italian soccer players are taking like a 30% cut mm-hmm. of their wages to make sure that the staffs at the stadium and stuff like that can get paid.
Mm-hmm. And some nobles did that. Some nobles really did give up a lot of their land for the peasants canceled taxes for a while, and those who didn't end up with violent revolutions in their cities.
Yeah. I'll be interesting how we come out on the other side of this.
Like I said, as far as plagues go, it usually means that the order of things are going to change. And unfortunately, it means that a lot of people have to die, but, you know, that's historically, unfortunately, that's what gets things moving.
Yeah, we all got to go sometime.
Yeah.
Is the Black Plague or the Bubonic Plague like the most devastating one based on numbers, or is it just the one with like the best PR? It's got the coolest name.
It can be
Ebola got the coolest name.
It can be Ebola argued really to rose be either up, number so. One or two.
Oh, okay, so it's up there for sure.
Right up there. Another contender for number one would be considered the smallpox, which wiped out all the Native Americans.
It doesn't have a sexy name though.
No, it's smallpox. And
nobody really cares about them people.
No, there's no Swedish black metal band calling their album after the smallpox. That's
not No, not really. Yeah.
The Black Plague. That's sexy. Yeah,
that's a
coronavirus.
Yeah.
That's sexy.
It's a sexy name. And, and again, another parallel to today. We've got kooky remedies back then that we have today.
I thought you said cookie remedies.
I'm kooky remedies.
Oh, okay.
Weirdo, weird, stupid stuff that people thought would protect them from the plague.
Like what?
Well, one of the
Windex.
Windex. One of the things they thought, originally they thought that because of the decaying bodies, the plague was spreading because of bad smells.
okay.
And so what they would do is they would carry flowers with them, and the sweet smell of the flowers was supposed to ward off the bad smell of the plague.
Okay.
Which is why you would carry a pocket full of posies.
Oh.
Right.
I know that song.
Yeah, ring around the rosy, a pocket full of posy. And the ring around the rosy was the red rings that formed around your eyes as a sign that you were having the plague.
Oh, yes. Damn.
And then ashes is because the best way to get rid of the plague was to burn the dead bodies. Don't bury them in the ground because the disease can spread from there. It was the you had to burn the bodies.
And we're all fall down because everybody faints at a funeral.
Or we all die.
Or we're all dead.
Right, depends which version you're doing. And so that's one of the reasons when you look at those plague doctor masks, you know how they have those weird long bird beaks?
Yes.
The reason
yes.
for that is because in those bird beaks were a bunch of crushed up flowers to protect them from the smells.
I thought it was also the handle. It was like the handle is easy to put it. That way you don't have your hand close to your face.
It was more about filling it with the flowers.
That's what it is?
Yeah, because it wasn't really about... Really, the face touching wasn't too big of an issue. I mean, they wore them head to toe because... But only because they felt it was hitting them, not so much skin-to-skin contact. So they thought it was this invisible aura.
A pocket full of posies stuffed in those noses.
Right.
And I'm good.
Exactly. That's what you do. You pray to God, and then you'll be fine. Bathe in some onions, maybe? I don't know.
What's the craziest remedy you've heard so far for this one?
For the coronavirus?
Yes.
Was it drinking silver?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, right. Some Christian people are pushing that.
Jim Baker.
Yeah, Jim Baker drinking the silver. I'm like, well then, that's interesting.
They've been pushing silver like cleansers for years to do anything.
Yeah.
So whatever their problem is, you have debt, so drink some of this silver. It'll make you feel better.
Yeah. They bought a surplus of silver. I'm like, I'm going to flip this.
And very much like the coronavirus, we have our stereotypes. We have our scapegoats, people that you want to blame for spreading it. Mm. You know, back then it was Jewish people.
Yeesh.
This time it's the Chinese.
Yep.
Again.
Uh-huh. Or the theory that the North Koreans have done it.
They can't do it. I don't... that's the one that... Like, dude, that dude is such a doofus.
Right.
You know what I mean? They say, come on, dude, you can't make that guy think he's smart. He let Rodman into the country twice to play basketball. I don't let Rodman into my house to, like, wash his hands, let alone to my castle to play basketball.
I mean, yeah, it's just tons of diseases, tons of just different bad theories over and over again. And they just weren't doing the proper precautions. Again, they didn't want to burn the bodies because it was extremely unchristian. They believed you had to bury a body in order for the soul to go to heaven.
If you burn the body, you burn the soul.
Right, or the soul cannot be judged until judgment day. So the soul had to stay in limbo until the final day.
But hold on. But I thought it wasn't back in the BC days they would burn the bodies.
Sure, back in BC days, absolutely before Christianity really came around.
Okay.
The Vikings, of course, it was the
good about
healthy thing to do. It was the humane thing to do.
Yeah, that's on my will.
So yeah, that was that. And then they thought originally it was cats at first that were spreading it.
Mm.
Because they believed cats were the animals of witches, and it was witchcraft. So they started killing all the cats.
Wow, so we had idiots.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
And then when you kill all the cats, guess what has a huge population?
Rats.
Rats. Exactly. So this is not the first pandemic, and it's not the first time a really, really bad decisions have been made, and also naysayers and doubters have been made. And that's always a popular thing, the naysayers. It's just it'll blow away. It's built up to be more. And a lot of people were saying that during the plague time, too, until it got to their city.
Until it got to them.
Until it got to them, exactly. Same thing with the Spanish flu. and all the others.
It's like that saying of, what is it? The first they came from, what is it? They came for, what is it? Oh, help me with it. It's a World War II one.
Right. Yeah, it's first they came. Yeah, came
it's like first the
they, and they said nothing. Yeah.
It's like then they came from my neighbors and I said nothing.
Right. I honestly, you know, I think it's not a matter of.
Do you honestly think this could have been controlled if we had the pandemic group?
I think we would have had a better assessment of what's going on. I think it would have hit us anyway, no matter what. It was going to hit us. And I think even if we had the pandemic people there, for most of us, it was not going to be an if, it was going to be a when we were going to get it, you know? Like, I've already prepared my mind. It's not if I'm getting this virus, it's when I'm going to get the virus. But how badly is it going to hit me?
Yes.
And that's what it is. I'm trying to keep away as long as possible, you know, stay as healthy as possible. And hopefully, like I said, hopefully I'm only out for a few days with flu-like symptoms.
I didn't get avian flu. I didn't get pig flu. I didn't get MERS.
Right. We get SARS.
SARS.
Right. So, but you should always prepare yourself that you're going to get it. Just keep yourself healthy so it doesn't hit you so hard.
Oh, yeah. I remember when AIDS epidemic was going around. I cried thinking I'm going to die of AIDS.
Right, because you shared a
soda. The way that they did in the 80s. And so, when I was a kid, really, I really had like a breakdown. My father's like, what's wrong with you?
And see, the funny thing is, like, all those horrible stereotypes about how you got AIDS, sharing sodas and shaking wrong people's hands and things like that, mm-hmm. is exactly how you're going to get coronavirus. You know, but there's a difference between a blood disease, which is what the Black Plague was, and a airborne disease, which is what the coronavirus is. I mean, it's going to come. And again, I can't say whether or not we were the best prepared or if we could have been prepared. Again, that's a lot of what if.
Yeah.
It's going to be something that we historians look back, you know, in about 20, 30 years from now, and then we can properly assess whether or not we could have really avoided this.
But at least we learned from our past.
At least we learned from our past. Mm-hmm. You know, just like the leaders back then. They thought they were also good at everything, even the people who knew better.
Of course.
They were chosen by God to understand that. So he's doing a great job being just like the medieval kings.
Well, those are the best kings. They're the best kings. They had ideas.
They had gold, too, you know.
They had gold. They have huge armies, beautiful armies.
Right, beautiful, swords. The best armies. And, of course, he was the best sword fighter. No one could compare to him, which is why he taught them all how to sword fight.
The biggest sword.
Right. And all his children had land and titles. So, you know, he's doing a great job being a medieval king. Fantastic. 10 out of 10.
And we're doing a great job as the feudal servants.
And hopefully we do, you know, hopefully we do just as good of a job later on and break the system and make it a little bit more equal for us.
With the English peasants revolt, our version of the English peasants revolt.
Right.
Will it be in the form of Instacart worker strikes? We'll see.
And the same thing happened back then. The workers were striking. Unions and guilds, they were called back then. They were striking, too. So, you know, we're going through the cycle. And, you know, the best advice I can give you is, you know, it's just kind of ride the flow, unfortunately. And don't expect the first strike for liberty to be successful. All those peasant revolutions failed first.
Oh, true. So be part of the second wave.
Be part of that second wave. Don't do the first.
Don't do the first one.
Okay, true.
Yeah. Be part of part two after the nobles realize, okay, maybe we should talk to the next wave instead of doing this.
There we go. We can't crush them all.
So heads up.
They'll get executed the first wave.
Well, I think we've had a fun little romp into biological diseases and warfare.
We got some perspective.
Right, we've talked about a different Chinese virus.
A different one.
You know, they're so beautiful. I just, you know, I like the statements. I think it's a beautiful time of year. Just call it the Chinese virus. Beautiful statement, beautiful name. I just like the name.
China. Why do you keep calling it that? Because it came from China. The way he says China is annoying.
Right.
Jesus, there's one person that can get it.
Oh, good. And, you know, I mean, he wrote the bill on his Chinese paper with his Chinese pen in his office with his Chinese air conditioning.
Look, I wrote it. I wrote something.
He's very proud of his handwriting.
Remember he did that for like 24 days straight?
Oh, just, yeah.
Just signing stuff.
You know, and the difference, I think the difference between our president today and the medieval kings, though, is I will say he's not exactly like a medieval king, because the medieval kings didn't have medical advisors disagreeing with them in the background.
In front of the peasants.
Right. And you're going to, you know, you're going to say, you know, and there was a, not to go off too off topic, but, you know, there is always this counter argument. The United States is not doing that badly. If you look at how many millions there are in the United States versus how many people actually have it. If you go with like the per million.
Yeah. I like how people throw that number out.
We're only in the bottom of the top six countries in the world that have it. Okay. So that's pretty good, guys. There's 187 countries. We're still in the top six, but hey, we're the lowest of those top six.
If we do it by percentage.
And, you know, another thing is, you know what country is not in that top six is India, which has a bigger population than us. So they have avoided this.
No, they. But here's the thing. It's a lot of countries that are not disclosing numbers.
Not disclosing, not disclosing.
Russia's
right.
Not going to disclose it. No. India's not going to do it. Pakistan probably doesn't know how to count.
India will probably do it just as well as we do. Which is to say, we've actually been flubbing our numbers.
But they got all the doctors. So don't figure it out.
Right. And well, all the Cuban doctors are in Italy now.
Yeah. Smart.
Hey, you know, someone wants them.
Hey, there's going to be a lot of Cuban Italians being born in 9 months.
That's a lot. That's some strong coffee right there.
Yo. Little cafecito.
Well, we're going to sign off here with Half Your History. We'll leave you with a little bit of upbeat plague tune. As well there, as Crespo will play that now on the downbeat here. This has been Half True History, Plague Edition, Quarantine Edition. Please make sure that you check us out on all of our social medias, Half True History on Twitter and on Facebook, Half True Histories on Instagram. And since I've got nothing much to do anymore, I'll probably be updating those a little bit more this week.
Right.
That I have been. Yeah, last few weeks I've been kind of getting ready for the quarantine.
Oh, there is a positive of this virus.
Right, there's a lot of good things coming out. So, for me, for Pedro Lima, for Chris Crespo, we wish you all to stay safe, stay indoors, and listen to us and all PFT Media podcasts since you've got nothing else to do. I hear you talking back to back, belly to belly, don't give a damn, done dead already, back to back, belly to belly, it's on the jamboree. A PFT Media production.